Hey, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. I hope this message will bless, encourage, and challenge you to walk into all that God has for you. So I hope you're ready for it. I'm excited for you to hear it. Let's get into it.
So for the next maybe 2 weeks, we're going to continue on this series, which says, God, this doesn't make sense. And how many of you know that there are times in your life where God doesn't seem like he's making sense? Where there are things that are going on in your life, things that are going on in other people's lives, and when you look at it, it looks like the combos are not communicating. It looks like the numbers, the calculations that you're putting together, if God is good, it should equal that the situation should be working out. But sometimes it doesn't make sense. Can someone say amen? You see, the title of the message I'm going to call this sermon is called Blue Tick Seasons. Blue Tick Season. Some of you know when you're on WhatsApp and you send a message to somebody, you get a double tick. But when the tick turns blue, you know the person got the message. Can someone say amen? You know they got the message and you're waiting for a reply. And when you don't get a reply, we say you got blue ticked. How many of you know that sometimes when you approach God, it can seem like he's blue ticking you? But you say, God, your word says you hear me when I pray. Your word says you hear me when I lift my voice to you. But God, I am looking for a reply concerning this. You know what's one of the most frustrating blue ticks? It's when you send someone a message, and you send maybe two different messages, and then they only reply to one thing, but there's another thing that they skipped. And you ask them a question, but they're not answering the question, they're just continuing the conversation. You know, the truth is, we know that God always is speaking as God's people. We know that God does speak, but when he seems silent, it's usually because he is silent about a certain thing. We're saying, God, I hear you talk about your love. I hear you talk about your presence, but there's one thing I need to hear your reply on. Now, what do we do in these blue tick seasons? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our souls. The Bible tells us that that's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, we have something that is sure in God. But you know, sometimes what's happening around us can make us feel like we're not so sure anymore. Sometimes there are things we walk through and it can make us feel like I'm not so sure that God answers all my prayers. I'm not so sure that God will always work things out for my good. I'm not always sure about it. Am I making sense to anyone today? Blue tick seasons. You know what? One thing I've had to learn is that I should not interpret God's word through my circumstances. You see, what people do is, when you do that, what you're doing is you go through something and then you judge God's word by what you're going through. You say, because I've been through one, two, three, it means God is not always good, he's sometimes good. Am I making sense to anyone? But I've learned that I have to interpret my situation through God's word. I have to take God's word and let that be the view or the lens of which I look at my life. And I encourage you today that don't judge your God's word by what's happening in your life. Am I making sense today? Don't say that God's word isn't for you or God's hand isn't over your life because of what you've seen or what you've experienced. You must know that what God has said is true. Amen. Amen. What God says is true regardless of how things look. Amen. I want to tell you a story. There was a time when I was at my aunt's house, and my aunt at this point in time, she was not married, and me and my cousins would sometimes visit my aunt's house. We have a good time, and I remember there was one morning where my older sister and my older cousins woke up early, and they said that they're going to go and buy pizza, and we're going to have pizza for breakfast. So they woke me up, and God, I see the Spirit is moving somewhere, yeah. The Spirit is moving in Jesus' name. So I woke up in the morning and they said, okay, we're going to get pizza. You just get ready, because I was like really young. Just get ready. And when you're ready, we're going to give you some pizza. And I was like, oh, yes. I love you guys. And I saw them walk out. I looked through the window. I saw them go out. So I was like, okay, let me go to the shower then. You know, I had a wonderful, beautiful shower. You know, getting clean, preparing yourself for the pizza. And I was just imagining the cheese. I was imagining the aroma as I was showering. But when I finished the shower, I realized that I don't have a towel. So I opened the door of the bathroom. And I know my cousins were not here, and I know my sister's gone, but I didn't know if my aunt was around. So what I did was I opened the door, and I was like, hello, hello. You know, because black people, you have to change your hello just to make sure, hello, hello, hi, hey, just to make sure, hey, is anyone here? And I never heard anything. So at that moment, there was this joy that filled my heart. I don't know if any of you have experienced this. You don't have to lift up your hand. But there's this other joy that when you are naked, ne? When you're naked and you have the house to yourself. You know, I was young. I had never experienced that. And, you know, I was walking. It was during a time when 50 Cent had released this song that goes, go, shorty, it's your birthday. And I was walking around, go, Jay, it's your birthday. We're gonna party. So I was making noise, walking around, making a mess, and I was shouting. And then I remember after I made a noise, I walked into the room and I closed the door. As soon as I closed the door, I heard the door open of my aunt's room. And my heart, I began to have a panic attack, because I thought if she would have opened that door a few minutes earlier, she would have seen things that she was not supposed to see. But what my aunt said, when she knocked on my door and she told me, hey, you're making noise. You're making noise. And I said, oh, I said hello and I was trying to get your attention, but I didn't hear you say anything. And she taught me something at that moment. She said, she was upset with me, but she said, you know, just because you don't hear me doesn't mean I don't hear you. And she says, just because you don't hear me, it doesn't mean that I'm not here. And church, I want you to know that sometimes when you're going through a blue tick situation, just because you don't hear God, it doesn't mean that He does not hear you. And just because you don't hear Him respond in a certain situation, it does not mean that He's not there. You see, my aunt taught me that just because I am not hearing it how I want to hear it, it doesn't mean He's absent. It doesn't mean He's not there. It doesn't mean He doesn't hear you. And that should give us peace. Can someone say amen? Amen. I want us to look at someone who went through a blue tick situation. And his name was Elijah. In Elijah chapter 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to tell you a bit about Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. He was a prophet, and he was a prophet during the time of King Ahaz. Now, prophets were chosen to deliver a message to God's people. They were anointed to be the mouthpiece of God. Now, prophets would always or usually bring a negative message. Am I making sense to everyone? Are you hearing me? They would usually come with a hard message. It wasn't always good news. Usually it was bad news that they would bring. But there was a time when God's people were beginning to turn and worship another god, and Elijah knew he has to step in and show God's people who they should really be worshiping. So the story goes that there were prophets who were worshiping a god called Baal. They're worshiping a god called Baal, and Elijah said, you know what, let's have a battle and let's prove who is the right God? Who is the true God? And said, the God who answers by fire will be the real God. And this is the one who answers by fire will be the real one. So Elijah was up against 450 prophets of Baal. Are you hearing me, church? 450 prophets of Baal. And he says, okay, guys, let's see. I want to see Baal do his thing then. So they began to sing, they began to dance, and long story short, Baal never responded. Then Elijah stood before them and says, and said, I'm going to show you who the true God is. And God answered by fire. God answered by fire. They saw the fire. Not only that happened, but the 450 prophets were killed. Amen? It, doesn't that sound like a great man of God? Doesn't it look like that's a man who's seen God do mighty things? But that's in chapter 18, but let's look in chapter 19. Can we read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1? It says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with a sword. Now, many of us have heard the word Jezebel. Amen. And sometimes the word Jezebel is used in the wrong way in church. Sometimes some people who are quite judgmental will see someone walking by and say, look at her shoes, such a Jezebel. You know, look at her hair, she's a Jezebel. But who Jezebel was in this story was a woman who was manipulative and was controlling over a king who was supposed to be establishing God's kingdom. Can you hear me? Am I making sense for everyone? Now, just as a side note, I want us to make sure that we pay attention for people who are single, to pay attention to the people who you may find yourself in a relationship with. You see, because King Ahaz was supposed to be a king who was supposed to establish what God wanted, establish the laws of God, establish what God wanted in his land, but he got into a relationship and even married Jezebel. And over time, Jezebel began to change his morals, began to change his beliefs. Are you hearing me, church? You see, if you get with someone who does not believe in prayer, watch your prayer life die. If you get with someone who does not believe in purity, watch your purity die. If you get with somebody who does not believe in serving and building God's kingdom, watch how your priorities in God's house will die as well. So what happens is Jezebel takes over the situation and she says, okay, Ahaz, you couldn't deal with Elijah, so I'm going to send him a message. And this was the message that Jezebel sent Elijah. It says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me more also if I do not make your life as the life of them by this time tomorrow. She says, may the gods deal with me if I don't kill you the way you killed those prophets by this time tomorrow. Now, if you were Elijah and you just saw God answer by fire, how do you think your response would be? You see, what I would expect Elijah to do was to send a message back to Jezebel and said, Jezebel, did you not hear what I just did? I just killed 450 of your boys. I'm about to end your whole career. Don't test me, Jezebel. Don't test me. But what does the Bible say Elijah did? In verse 3, it says, Elijah was afraid and arose and ran for his life. You see, for some reason, there was an area in Elijah's life that he was vulnerable. Now, I want to ask you, what's the area in your life that you're vulnerable? What's the area in your life that when the enemy touches that, you fold? What's the area in your life when the enemy touches that you come undone because one area was touched? You see, Elijah could have handled all the other things, but when it came to Jezebel, he couldn't handle it. What's your soft spot today, church? What's the place that if the enemy hits that, you fall? You see, there was a time when Elijah walked through that and he needed God to respond. So let's continue reading. I'm going to read a big passage, so just listen up for this. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 to 15. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life away, for I am no better than my father's. He basically says, I want to die, God. I want to kill myself. Take my life away. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was by his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and laid there again. And the angel came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose, ate and drank, and went in strength of the food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And God said to him, go out and stand out on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke it into pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood before the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came the voice of the Lord that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. Can someone say amen? You see, previously in verse 18, we see God answering Elijah as the God who answers by fire. Amen? But I want you to know that over your life, what Elijah was going through was a blue tick season. And he'd seen God do so many things, but all of a sudden, God, this doesn't make sense that you have done all these great things, but the one time I need you to take care of me, where are you? You see, I've seen you do miracles, God. I've seen you help other people, God. I've seen you bless other people through my life, God. But when it comes to me, you're quiet. When it comes to my needs, you're quiet. And what began to come in was discouragement. You see, that's one thing that you must be careful of when you feel like God is silent. When you feel like God is not answering you, be careful of discouragement. As much as God answers with fire, the devil answers with discouragement. You see, I want to pull out three things that discouragement does to you. Number one, what discouragement does to you is it makes you run alone in the wrong direction. Number one, if you're taking notes, what discouragement will do in your life, it will make you run alone in the wrong direction. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. We see, then he was afraid and rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Amen? Now, Beersheba, what does Beersheba mean? It means the well of oath. It means the well of promise. Now, when there was a crisis, the Bible tells us that Elijah was running with his servant. He was running with someone who was serving him, and they were running to a place of God's promise. But what did discouragement do? Discouragement made Elijah leave the one who was running with him and run by himself. You see, what you must be careful of when you are discouraged, don't isolate yourself. Can someone say amen? When you are discouraged, one of the first things the enemy wants you to do is isolate yourself. Verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. When he was running with his servant, he was running to the promise. But when he began to run by himself, he ran to the wilderness. Church, be careful of isolation. Be careful of trying to do life by yourself, because when you try to do it by yourself, you're exactly where the enemy wants you. Am I making sense today? Isolation will never help you. Isolation will just make you vulnerable. You see, what happens usually, we miss out on what God is giving us by refusing to connect to the people around us. You see, the people in your life God has given to you for moments when you sometimes can't even hear Him, so that they might encourage you. Church, I want to encourage you one more time. I even hear people will say, you know what, when they go through hard times, they will say things like, I don't want to be around Christians. Specifically, I don't want to be around church people when I'm going through this thing. But I want you to know that that is the voice of the enemy trying to get you by yourself. Am I making sense today? The second thing that discouragement will do to you is discouragement will make you make destructive decisions. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, we see it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die. He said, I want to die. I want to say to each of you, don't make big decisions when you're discouraged. Are you hearing me? I've heard many times in all the time I've been in church, some people, when they're discouraged, they'll say things like, you know what? Maybe I should quit serving in church. Maybe I should quit, you know, what's happening in this relationship. Maybe I should quit this job. Maybe I should quit chasing this dream. Maybe I should quit because I am discouraged. I encourage you, church, don't make big decisions when you are discouraged. Because discouragement will make your decisions destructive. Discouragement will make you make decisions that are going to hurt you and are not going to build you. Am I making sense to anyone today? Wait for a time when you feel better. Wait for a time when there is courage in your heart. Wait for a time when your faith is where it's supposed to be before you make decisions. Discouragement will push you to make destructive decisions. And third, what discouragement will do, it will make you see your brokenness, but it won't make you see your blessings. It'll highlight your brokenness. It'll say, look at this situation, but it won't let you see the blessings around you. Church, listen to what was going on in Elijah's life in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 to 9. It says, and he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him. Number one, God sent an angel. Amen? Not just an angel that was there, but an angel who touched him. God blessed him with connection. Then the angel said, arise and eat. God blessed him with a message. Then the angel provided food and water. God provided for him. Amen. Next thing, that he slept. And while he slept, the angel was watching over him. God gave him protection. Amen. He arose again and got more food. And food which strengthened him. God strengthened him. But when God came to him and said, Elijah, why are you in this cave? Elijah still complained about the bad things going on. You see, when you're discouraged, you must know that you will be seeing the problems as big, but you will be seeing God's promise as small. If you give yourself to discouragement, that's what is going to happen. You won't see the blessing. Can someone say amen? Amen? You see, like I said, how God speaks all the time. God blesses all the time. But the problem is, we often want God to bless and speak in a specific way. But we have to have our eyes open to how He is blessing us in different ways. And maybe the one that we are waiting for isn't happening yet, but He is doing so much more for you. But if you allow discouragement to overcome you, then you won't see it. Can someone say amen? So I want to go to 3 points of what we can do when God doesn't make sense and when we don't hear Him. Number one, do this. When you want God to answer about a certain situation in your life, number one is stay open to the word of those who God sends you. Can someone say amen? Amen. Number one, stay open to the words of the ones who God sends you. You see what the angel did. Listen to this. God sent an angel, but the problem of Jezebel was still there. Are you hearing me? The threat over his life was still there. That wasn't dealt with, but God sent an angel. What does the angel say? Arise and eat. Doesn't that message sound irrelevant to the situation? Why didn't the angel come and say, God says that Jezebel will be dealt with. Jezebel will not touch you. You will be protected. But the message is, arise and eat. You see, if Elijah wasn't open to the one who God sent him, he was going to disregard that message. You see, when you are discouraged, don't come to church saying, oh, I want to hear a message that's going to speak specifically into what I'm going through. Because some people come to church and they say, you know, the pastor is touching on all these other things, but it's not touching on what I'm going through. I feel the message is irrelevant to me. You know, just because the message is not exactly touching on what you think it must touch, it doesn't mean it's not helping you on your way. Stay open to the words of those who God sends you. You see, it's hard because sometimes you want to be alone. You want to be in your thoughts. You want to be in your feelings. But you have to stay open to the words of those around you, even if it sounds irrelevant. Even if you come into church and you hear a message that's telling you, hey, you need to read your Bible, but your issue is what's going on at home. You want a message that's going to deal with how am I going to deal with the things happening at home. But you come to church and the message is read his words. Stay open to it. Stay open to it and don't just listen to it, but practice it. The message was arise and eat. And what did Elijah do? He arose and he ate. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Number two, stay hungry and stay thirsty. Stay hungry and stay thirsty. When you don't hear God, stay hungry and stay thirsty for God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. But how do you stay hungry and thirsty? You have to protect your hunger. Are you hearing me, church? How many of you know that if you have lunch later today, but if you eat sweets before you eat lunch, it's going to affect your appetite? If you eat the wrong thing, if you eat junk food and then you're supposed to eat healthy food, you're not going to want the healthy food because you already ate the junk food. You have to be careful of the things that you are consuming, the things that you allow your eyes to see, the things that you allow your ears to listen to, the conversations you allow yourself to be in. If you are waiting for God to respond to you or to speak to you, you have to protect your hunger for the things of God. You see, the Bible tells us that Elijah was in the wilderness, and I tell you that there are things you can eat in the wilderness. There is wilderness food. How many of you know that you can walk in depression and there is depression food? How many of you know that there is some music that you can listen to that sets the tone for your depression? Am I the only one here today? That there are things you can watch that are going to feed on your depression, that are going to keep you where you've always been. And when you listen to those things so much, when God's word comes to you, you may even feel like, I don't want to hear God's word right now. You see, what Elijah did was he didn't eat on the food of the wilderness because he knew even though he is in the wilderness, he didn't want the wilderness to get inside of him. You can be in depression, church, but it doesn't mean that depression must get on the inside of you. You have to protect what you are consuming and say, God, I will not eat unless it is what comes from you. I will rather walk hungry in my wilderness. I'll rather walk hungry in my depression. I'll rather walk hungry in this situation until, God, you speak a word that's going to uplift me. Protect your hunger. Can someone say amen? Amen. Protect your hunger. And the last thing we see is that Elijah walked into a cave. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when people would walk into caves, interpretation of a cave is often a stronghold in your life. It's something that has a stronghold over you. You see, what happened in Elijah's life was even after God had given him strength, even though God sent him an angel, even though God had caused him to be touched and he got a message that says, arise and eat. The Bible says that he ate the food and he was strong enough to travel for 40 days and 40 nights. And even though he had the Spirit of God over him, he still walked straight into a cave. Even though the blessing was over his life, even though the anointing was over his life, even though the provision was there, he still went into a cave. He went into a place that had a stronghold over him, a stronghold over your emotions, maybe. Have you walked into a place that has a stronghold over your mindset, a stronghold over your habits? And God's message to him was, what are you doing here? As I'm coming to a close, he says, what are you doing here? And at that moment, Elijah begins to say, God, all these things are going wrong, all these things, and I'm the only one who is serving you, but God, all these things are still happening to me. All these problems, I'm still facing these same issues, God. And it doesn't make sense because you have answered before, but today you aren't answering me. God, this doesn't make sense. This is not making sense to me. But God says, I want you to go out of this cave. Amen? This place that you have put yourself in. For some people, you may find yourself that through the circumstances of life, you may have found yourself in a relationship that doesn't honor God. You may have found yourself in habits that don't honor Him. You may have found yourself in some area or something that has a stronghold over you. And God says that, hey, if you're not hearing me, you have to position yourself in a place where you will hear me right. So then what God does is He sends a big wave before Elijah. This big wave, and maybe that's what Elijah was expecting. I want God to do this big thing so I know He has my back. But the Bible says God was not in the wind. Then what God does is He sends an earthquake and the earth shakes. And maybe Elijah was like, that's what I've been looking for. But then he finds out that God's not in the earthquake either. Then God sends fire. Because he's seen God answer by fire. He's seen God do this thing for other people, and it's been in his past, but he finds out God is still not in the fire. And what happens is that there's a still and a small voice that speaks to him. Now, why was it a still small voice? I believe the reason why God did not make a big noise and did not make a big show was because he was showing Elijah how close he was to him. He says, it's not about these big things that you're expecting. Elijah, you may have been waiting for wind. Elijah, you may have been looking for an earthquake. Elijah, you may have been looking for fire, but Elijah, all you needed was me. You see, the problem with so many people is that we want God to do all these things, and you think that once God does those things, you're going to be okay. But the truth is, you could have all the things in the world, but without God, you'll still be empty. You could have everything on this earth given to you on a silver platter, but without God, you would still feel empty. And God was showing Elijah All you've needed all along is not even an answered prayer. Elijah, what you have needed is me, and I have always been there. You are looking for your answer in the wrong places. You're looking for your answer in the wrong places. I want to take you back to the first story when I was in my aunt's house. You see, when I put on my clothes and after my aunt shouted at me, I went to my phone and I realized that my aunt had sent me an SMS saying that she is here, she can hear me. She sent me a message that says, don't make noise. But because I was trying to hear her voice through her door, I missed it. You see, Elijah was missing the whole point because he was expecting God to speak a certain way. But until he began to be still and got closer to God, he realized that, you know, God will answer to you sometimes not in the way you expect. Not in the way you thought. But if you are open to him, you may hear him speak to you. Can someone say amen? You see, with the light in Elijah's life, when he went through this blue tick season, when things didn't make sense for him, he wanted to end his life. He wanted to end his life, and he says, look, I'm suicidal, God. Take my life away because this is too much. This is too much. It's enough now, God. You can end it. We can end this whole thing right now. But you see what God showed him after he showed him all the winds and the earthquakes and the fires and the voice came to him. What God told Elijah, he says, Elijah, go back to doing what you used to do. Can someone say amen? You see, there are some people in church who you used to serve God in a higher level. And what God says is when you don't hear him, you have to just go back to what you used to do. Go back to the way you used to pray. Go back to serving the way you used to serve. Go back. Even before the situation is dealt with, return. Return to doing what you were doing. Because you thought that your life was over, but God was saying, I'm still doing something through your life. For all of you, I want you to know that if you are still alive, it means God's not through with you. If there is still breath in your lungs, it means God is still working on your life. It means there is still hope. It means you can still have faith. It means hold on to hope. If you're still alive, it means he's still working. If you're still alive, it means he's not through with you yet. See, sometimes we don't know God's plan, but God's word tells us about his purposes, that his purposes over our lives are good. And sometimes don't be shaken when you don't know God's plan. Hold on to the fact that you know his purposes are good. Sometimes the plan doesn't make sense. Sometimes the way things are going on in your family, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes how things look in the finances don't make sense. Sometimes what's happening in your health, it doesn't make sense. But you have to put your faith in the purposes of God. And the plan, you don't understand it. It's higher than you. It's beyond you. You don't get it. It doesn't make sense. But his purpose is good. His purpose is good. His purpose is good. His reasons are good. It's good. Don't let the devil destroy you with discouragement. Don't let the devil destroy you with discouragement. Trust in him even if you don't hear him. Just again, I want to say, just because you don't hear him about a specific situation, it doesn't mean he's not standing right there. And it's, you don't need the fire. You don't need the wind. God is saying, what you need is me. What you need is me. So don't go chasing different things, church. Seek after him. Seek after him. Keep speaking. Keep speaking. Keep praying, knowing that he's listening. Keep praying, knowing He's listening. He hears every word. Keep praying. Are you hearing me, church? Keep praying, knowing He is listening. He hears. Keep praying and keep standing. Can we stand on our feet today? We close our eyes. And today I just want to say a prayer over discouragement. Over people who you are in church today and there is something in your life that's very discouraging. There's something that's pulling you down. There's something that is weighing you down. And you just want to lay it before God. There could be things going on that don't make sense for you. But today you're saying, God, I want to lay it before you and I want to trust you. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you with every eye closed, but just to put your hand up.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I just want to ask you to please subscribe and write a review about what you heard, about what you liked, and maybe even something you'd like me to speak about in the future. And also, please just share it with someone else who you know would really enjoy it, or someone who would really just be blessed by the episode, or maybe just the whole podcast. Please, let's just spread word out about it. But once again, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day, a great week. I hope you're doing well. Stay tuned because there's so much more to come. Take care. God bless.